Good morning, church.
Good morning.
My name is Lewis, and I love my wife, Susan. And you don't know need to know anything else about me. I want to talk to you about a day very much like today. It was October the 20th, 1962, Sunday morning. And then we didn't have two services. We just had one. So we were in Sunday school, and my dad was teaching his Bible class, his men's Bible class, and he died. That was 2 days before my 12th birthday. And I want to tell you, I've been a boy who'd always been in the church. You know, when the doors were open, I was there. But I was very angry at God. I hated God. I didn't want anything to do with God. Nothing. And I didn't for 30-something years. Going back to October, I want us to jump forward a little bit here to October the 13th, 1973. I got married. God married me and Susan. We were not Christians, but I know today that God put us together for His purpose. We were both living exactly what we wanted to do. Susan had a career teaching school and spending money, and I had a career doing the same thing, except I was a pharmacist and a district manager, and I was spending money. Pastor Rich asked me, well, Lewis, in that, who did you look up to? I said, Pastor, I looked up to myself because there was nobody better than me in my job, and that's all I cared about. Any of you ever been there? Yeah. But anyway, God did bless that wedding. And 30 years after my dad's death, and I want you to go with me now to September of 1992. Praise God for who He is, that He works His will in creation. Susan went to a Via de Cristo retreat, which the Lutheran Church does. It's a lay movement. You have three pastors with you as, quote, spiritual advisors. But what we look to see there is it's for Christians. Christians are supposed to be there, and when they come out of this retreat, they're supposed to be better able to help serve the church and be leaders for the Lord. Of course, we weren't Christians, so we shouldn't have even been there. But Susan had an experience of salvation on that last day. And she came home, and she was so excited. She was telling me all this stuff. And I noticed a big difference. And I said, honey, I don't know what they did to you over there in Shelby, North Carolina, in the country, but it's going to wear off. She looked me right in the eye and said, Lewis, it will never wear off. So 3 weeks later, it was my turn to go. A good friend and I were going out there. Dennis and I looked at each other on that bus going out there for that three-day retreat. And we're talking. We said, you know, I don't need to be there, Dennis. He said, Lewis, I don't need to be there either. We're good people. We don't need to be there. And he might have been right. But God didn't think he was right. The first day, the rector, the lay leader who was in charge of the entire weekend, gets up and says, this retreat is most of all for three people. The ones who know you need to be here, the ones that didn't realize you need to be here, but most importantly, it's for the ones who don't think you need to be here at all. I looked at my friend Dennis. He was sitting over here, and I'm sitting right here. I said, they got us. And they did. They pegged us right. We didn't think we needed what that retreat had to offer. So, praise God, He saved my worthless soul then and has made me the righteousness of Christ. None that I have myself, but what Christ has done for me and for my wife, whom I love, Susan. I want to tell you a little story, though, about growing faith, which is Pastor's lesson today. Via de Cristo also has a thing called Kairos Ministry. And what you do, you go to prison with the prison in Morganton, North Carolina, where they convict the children as adults, and they put them in this prison. And then, of course, when they hit 19, they send them to Raleigh, to the big prison. A friend of mine who I was on some other Via de Cristo retreats asked me to go. I said, no. I didn't say, no, I don't think so. I said, no, I am not going to that prison retreat. Kept on about Lewis's way. It didn't show much faith, but I felt something kind of gnawing on my insides, just gnawing away. A month and a half later, another good friend said, Lewis, we're having a prison retreat. A Kairos ministry wants you to be a part of that team. I said, well, okay. I still had that knowing, but I was still very reluctant. And I prayed. I said, Lord, I said, I don't know anything about this. I've never been to this kind of retreat before. I've done the Crucios before, but I'm very concerned about it. And then I got a call about a week later. They had some real bad behavior problems at the prison, and the warden locked down the prison. I was delivered. I did not have to go. Now, you're thinking, Lewis, you know, what happens next? I said, well, that was the third time. And the third time the call came, and I had the least amount of resistance to it. I wasn't excited about it, but I said, yes, I will be glad to go. And I tell you, folks, if you see all these children there who've never had a birthday party, and the last day they have a birthday party, and they get messages about Christ, and how he can change anybody's life. It was a blessing more for me than any of those kids would have ever gotten. It also caused me to trust God for what's in front of my life and not so much worry about what I think. And this is going on today. Pastor's lesson, his verse, the focal verse today is, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith. And church family, I know you realize if we don't have Jesus Christ, there is no righteousness there. And we cannot live by faith. But if we have Christ, we can live by his faith, which has made us righteous before him and before God. I want to tell you how important this is to me. I asked the Lord, Lord, how is it between me and you? And I have a reason for that. I have a passion for people who are not righteous or who are wicked. Psalm 1 says, verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of righteousness, but the way of the wicked will perish. It should be a burden on all our hearts because of what Christ has done for us individually, that no wicked person perish. We need to be praying for them. We need to be interceding for them all the time. Say, Lord, can you change their heart? We've got a friend that we love him, but he's like hugging a briar bush to try to give him some affection. But for that person, what you have to do is be sure they know that you love them, that you're not, the only thing that you do is wanting what's best for them. And without that faith that God had allowed to grow in me, I would have never been able to have those kind of conversations with other folks. So I would say today, if you remember one thing, just remember that God is dependent on us to carry the message of eternal life. And I'll leave you with that. I love you all, and God bless you.